Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. I appreciate that worship. Frida said that the anointing was here. I've noticed that when we're in praise services, and this is true of every service I've ever been in all my life, we have the option of entering into what God is doing or holding back. It's kind of like being at a pool. You have the option of just sitting in a chair and not getting in the pool while everyone else is in the pool. When Frida says, wow, the anointing is so strong, I can cut it with a knife, that's because she entered into that. But if you're sitting there going, what is she talking about? It's because you're sitting by the side of the pool. She's in the pool. So when it comes to worship, no one can exercise for you, right? Otherwise, I'd pay someone to go to the gym for me. Yeah. And no one can praise for you. No one can worship for you. Only you can do those things. So I appreciate that, Frida, that we can enter in. Now, Pam, you had mentioned to me, and I forgot what it was, but you said you have a powerful message for tomorrow night. So I kind of want, what's tomorrow night?
We've been having some amazing services on Monday night and increasing, and people are coming. And we've been talking about, and I'm going to continue teaching on Joseph, Here Comes That Dreamer. But I'm actually going to be sharing a video tomorrow night that just will turn your theology upside down. It is probably about 8 minutes. It is powerful, just so powerful. I probably listened to it about 15 times. So you're going to want to come and hear. Sometimes less is more, and the impact of that hit my heart so hard for tomorrow night that it's just amazing, and it will set people free. Our message today is actually the authority, the believer's authority, and the authority that we have in Christ. And you might think those are just simple words, but they're really not. To say that someone has authority doesn't mean that they use the authority. And I want to begin by saying this, and it applies to most all of our lives. First, our life is a sum of the total choices that we've made. And we don't want to think that a lot of times, that I'm in this hard place because of some of the choices that I made myself. We'd like to blame that on the devil or anybody else, but that's not really fair, even to the devil, if you're trying to be fair to him. It's not. It's just not. So in order to change my life, I am the only person who has the ability to change my life. You can't change my life. You cannot change things for me. I have to do that. I have to turn things around, and I have to make different choices, radical choices. But I want to say this. We have been given authority by Christ. I want to get into this just a little bit. If we could understand the revelation of the authority and the power that we have in Christ through the works of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, our whole life would indeed change. Our life would be marked, first of all, by signs and wonders, okay? And God authorized us, Jesus authorized us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. And it's hard. I was sharing this with Pastor Ken, and he said, yes, it's true, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around that, Pam. It is, because it doesn't sound right that I have the same power that Jesus has. It something in your mind goes, no, I don't. But I'm here to say, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I'm going to try to explain that, but I want to say this. Are you tired at all of the enemy bullying you, beating you up, battering you around? It's time for us to speak up and stand up and use the authority that we have been given in Christ to change things. Now, authority is the legal right and power to make decisions, to command and oversee, dominion, jurisdiction, control over a situation, the ability to legislate, the ability to govern. All of those are authority. But here's the thing. When I'm talking about Christ and you and I have the same authority and power. I want to give you a very real down-to-earth example. Three people can share authority. First of all, you have to start with that. And here's how it works. I opened a bank account and put a lot of money in it. And I put Sandra's name, my daughter, on that bank account, okay? And she has the exact same authority. I own the bank account, and I actually opened the bank account and made all of that available to her. It is now all available to her, possibly to my own hurt, but it is. And she can go in the bank, and she can sign that account. She can, if she wanted $10,000 today, she could go to the bank account. They won't say a word. She's authorized to take that out and do whatever she wants with it. That's us in Jesus Christ. She has the ability to make decisions, and if it's mine, it's hers. She has the same authority. And I want to tell her, you can do whatever you need, whatever you desire, the desires of your heart, you can do that. Watch this. She called me one day on the phone. The words a parent loves to hear. Mom, I signed your name today. I wrote a check and I signed your name. And I said, that's perfectly fine. That's what it's there for. What if you knew that Jesus was saying the same thing to you? I died on the cross and I gave you all of these things. And at any time, you can say, Jesus, I just accessed healing. I wrote for healing. And you just took it. You know what? The authority we have, let me tell you, I am so thankful that he signed in red, in the red blood of Jesus. He signed a complete blank check. If I need healing, it's mine. If I need deliverance, it's mine. If I need a prayer answer, even to the desires of my own heart. And I know that's hard to wrap our head around. You know why it is? Because we haven't used the authority that he has given us.
This subject of authority, this is a good topic to go over. So when Jesus said, the works that I do, you will also do also. Okay, but here's reasons why that doesn't work for you. Number one, Jesus was God. So that's why that won't work for you. But we become the sons and we become the children of God. Okay, so what if you say, yeah, but Jesus, he wasn't human. Yes, he was. He came to earth as a human being. Okay, but Pastor Ken, but you have to understand, when Jesus spoke, he had authority. So do you. But the reason it worked for Jesus and not for us is Jesus was without sin. So are you. So here's the thing about that scripture and all those scriptures. There's so many scriptures in the Bible that when I read them, it's like the high promises. These promises are out the roof, but the low experience. The high promise, but the low experience. I mean, you can go to Disney World and be miserable if you want to, right? You know, it's like that. I told you about that woman at Disney World, and her kids were crying and they were all upset. And she said, I didn't come across the country and spend all this money for y'all to come here and be miserable. You know, she was just mad. We've taken time off. I've spent money. And I kind of feel like Christ saying, I came from earth. I went to the cross. I died to give you authority. I didn't do all of that just so you could live a miserable life. I provided all of these things. I once heard, and I think it was Lillian Yeomans that said, the word of God in your mouth has the same authority as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. And when you start realizing all the things that Jesus gave to the church, just because we haven't, I mean, it may be unbelievable that Sandra can go out and get $10,000, but it's still the truth.
Yes, it is. Yes,
that is, if you have $10,000. But God has $10,000. That's the thing is, he's got, when I was in law school, they taught us that that a check is a demand instrument. Notice that the old checks, they used to say, pay to the order of. You were ordering payment. You were the one where I'm ordering payment. And when you write a check and sign your name, that shows the authority. Now then, I want to point out that even though there's these amazing scriptures, and we could name 1,000 of them, 1,000 scriptures that, wow, the promises are so amazing. And you might say, yeah, that's amazing. There's all those scriptures. I want to point out that God has watched over his word to perform it. I want to point out that God has watched over his word. We have the word of God. That is amazing. That is amazing. So if you're sitting there going, I wonder if I should believe in God or not. Well, you are a living being. You can see the sun. You're alive. The evidence that is all around us. But the word of God, he watched over. We don't have a fake Bible. I actually heard something I was kind of amusing. I think it was yesterday. They were talking about all these spiritual books that had nothing to do with the word of God. But that's what you're going to find. If you just go into a big bookstore and go to the spiritual selection, why, 99 out of 100 things you grab are not of the Bible, right? There's stuff on whatever, getting your chi and order and whatever. There's a bunch of insane things that's not in the Bible. So this thing on YouTube said, this is one of the banned books of the Bible. And I go, it's not a banned book. It doesn't belong in the Bible. That's why it's not in the Bible. What I'm saying is, we trust that the word of God that you have in your lap is the word of God, because God watched over his word throughout the years. The Bible isn't written by man. It may have been a secretary may have transcribed it. I mean, John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelation, but if you look at what he says, write down the things you see and hear. He was a secretary he was taking shorthand. That wasn't John saying, I'm going to do this. That was Jesus. That was through the word of God. So I'm saying, when you see a promise from the word saying that you have authority, you don't need to doubt it. God said it. You need to believe it. You need to act on it. So even if it is something that's a high promise. So I want to read this John 14:12. I didn't know if we had that. Do we have a John 14:12? Okay, that's okay. It's a short scripture. And even though you know this scripture, I want to show you how deep this is. This is not a scripture. This is an onion with so many layers. First, I'm going to read the whole scripture just so you can say, yeah, I know that. And then I want to show you how amazing the scripture is. This is John 14:12. This is one of those scriptures that, wow. This is Jesus saying this, by the way. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Now, you could just read that and go, yeah, good scripture. But let's take a microscope to this scripture for a second. How does it start? Truly, truly. First of all, if Jesus says it, he doesn't have to say twice, this is the truth. But he said it twice. Truly. Come on. If Jesus says truly, truly, he's saying this is something you can really count on. And the reason he said truly, truly, he knew he was about to say something so over the top that it would cause us to go, he didn't mean that. Truly, truly, right? Now let's look at the next word. I say, I. Who said that? Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, truly, truly, I say. That's how we release faith, is by saying it. Okay, I say to you. Come on, I say to you, Alan. You read that, you can put your name in there. Jesus, Emmy, I say to you. Can you imagine, Emmy, if Jesus stood in front of you and say, Emmy, truly, truly, I say to you. Wow, there's no doubt who he's talking to. It's right there. I say to you, whoever. Every word he says is exciting me. He didn't say only a certain few or my chosen disciples, the top three, I'll make the cut. Whoever. And then I get to the next word, believes. We believe in God. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Word of God. We believe what Jesus says. Whoever believes in me, where are the believers? will, and Pam pointed this one out. He didn't say might. He said could. He said they will do the works that I do. And, okay, a couple of more things here. There may be a temptation for us to doubt that the works that Jesus did that we could do also, because it is over the top. But I want to read another scripture from Philippians that says, I can do all things. Actually, that's not what it's. It doesn't say I can do all things, does it? Because I can't do all things. But it does say I could do all things through Christ. And that's where the strength is. That's where the strength is. So when we ask, we're asking according to his word. And when we ask, we're acting with authority. And maybe we have not because we ask not. Maybe we have not because we're not believers. Maybe we have not because we're not speaking it out like Jesus did. Maybe we're doubting in our heart, but we need to decide that the word of God is the gold standard, and he watches over his word.
It's so true. Let me give you a little quick teaching on the John 14:12. When it says truly, truly, another translation of that is truth, truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. I say to you, this is the truth. This is the truth. I love when God says something twice because it leaves no room for doubt. Did he say that that's the truth? Did he say, was it me, Moses? Yeah, Moses. It was you. You know, it's not some other guy. And I love things like that in the Word of God. And just because it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me doesn't say I will. We have to make that decision. Will we? We can, but will we? And, you know, I kind of am liking the teaching of authority because I've been studying it a lot this past week, that I noticed with Jesus, he did not ever one time ask or invite a demon to leave. He didn't even pray for the demon to leave. He commanded and took authority and told the demon to leave. To leave. And really the same thing with sickness. We lay hands on the sick and we don't have to beg God to heal them. You know what I have chosen to do? When I lay hands on the sick, I'm not asking God to heal them. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for healing Frida of this affliction that has tried to come upon her. It must go in Jesus' name. I'm not going to beg God for something he's already done through the cross. It's like saying, can you do this? Will you do this? I already know that it's his will to do this. I say, thank you, God. And by the way, thank you for all you've already done in healing us so many times. I do want to say there's never been a time, in my opinion, in history that we've needed to understand the authority and power we have through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember teaching on Monday night not long ago and saying, we literally need the power of the Holy Spirit to go to Target. I literally need the power of the Holy Spirit when I'm driving through traffic. And you might say, well, that's because somebody might flip you off or something. No, that's because I might flip them off, because I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying they need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I'm talking with people, do I need the power of the Holy Spirit because they might offend me? No, I need it so I won't offend them. You know, let's get it right. I need Jesus. You know, sure they do too, but it begins with you and I. And so we've never needed that more, I don't feel, in our entire lives. I'm not someone who can live life successfully or even be a Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit, without being filled. And by the way, can I say something? And, you know, you cannot like it or like it, but there are only two spirits. There's the Holy Spirit and there's an unholy spirit. There's not kind of, sort of Holy Spirit, kind of, sort of not. It's the Holy Spirit, or we are living an unholy life. You know, when you see people that are Christians and they're constantly falling into gross sin and you see this, it's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. That's evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. You're going to have some of the gifts of the Spirit. Because, and here's the thing, not only that, he's a helper with the hard stuff in life. How many of you are going through hard stuff in life? Well, you need the Holy Spirit because he will help you go through hard stuff in life. But here's the thing. Just because I need help doesn't mean I'm willing to accept help. You know, and sometimes we forget, you know, we just don't think about it that, you know, the Holy Spirit, that I can call the Holy Spirit to help me when I come upon a problem. You know, if I had hundreds of dollars in my wallet, but I forgot that I had it, then it's of no use to me whatsoever, you know, if I don't remember that it's there. We do not need to forget. The Bible says, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases, heals all your wounds. We forget how good our God is, how good we forget even the things that he has already done for us. Do you know that? And here's the thing with living a Christian life, why I need the Holy Spirit, because I want the love, joy, and peace in my life. Because I contend, and I was telling Sandra this the other day, having this conversation, I'm going to be real honest with you, Sandra. These people may never, the people I meet, may never, ever, ever remember. They probably can't tell you from one week to the next, what did we preach on last week? I guarantee you, I would never even ask you. I wouldn't be so stupid as to ask you, what did Pastor Ken and I speak on last week? What did, maybe I don't remember. What the heck? I wouldn't ask you what I spoke on last Monday night. Maybe you could tell me, but probably not. But I'll tell you what people can tell you. They can tell you what you did for them that was very practical. They can tell you that you were there when they needed a friend. They can tell you about the time you called, the card you sent, what you did, you took them out to dinner, whatever it was, they can tell you that. And that's the love of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. That's what he does. So do we need the Holy Spirit? Yes. So I have another question real quick, and I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken. Have you ever asked him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and baptize you in the Holy Spirit? And if you have, are you running dry today? And do you need more oil of the Holy Spirit? Do you need him to fill you again so that you can do those things and be that person that God has called you to be? I know I do. I don't know about you, but I know I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing on other people.
Just because we have access to something doesn't mean that we're taking advantage of it. I mean, here's Pam, my sister. I could go a whole year without ever seeing her or talking to her. All right. I could. But I can also call her at any time and we can get together for lunch. And we can be as connected as we want to be. Just because we have a relationship of brother and sister doesn't mean we're walking in that relationship. It's a choice to connect. I appreciated yesterday we had our men's meeting and the men of the church connecting. We choose to make those connections. But the same way the Holy Spirit is there saying, I want to be a helper. I want to be a friend. We can choose to say, no, I want to go it alone. You know, Pam can say, you want to go to lunch? I can say, no, I want to go it alone. And the Holy Spirit's there saying, I want to be involved in your life. I want to be connected. And you could say, no, I want to go it alone. I would say this to challenge the New Testament church, starting with challenging myself. And I've said this all my life. Without the miracles of God, the world will never be convinced that God is God. Elijah called down fire. When the prophets of Baal, 400 false prophets. Imagine if you were there and you had no idea. Some 400 prophets of Baal are here. One prophet of someone named God is here. And the guy that says he's from God, Elijah, you know, Elijah says he's got the one true God. But there's 400 other people saying he's wrong, he's wrong. It's Baal, it's Baal. How do you know who to believe? Well, I'm going to go with the guy that called down fire from heaven and killed every. I'm going with that God. Yeah. Just that, you know, I just made a decision. The guy that has fire coming out, that's the one. Right. Jesus said, no, Mary said, do whatever he says. And what he said made no sense. You're out of wine? Nah, just take the hose and just fill, you know, that'll be fine. Just fill them up with water. Hello? That is not in the Bible if it doesn't turn into wine. That's not even a good miracle. As a matter of fact, if it doesn't turn into wine, all you have is jugs of water from the hose. No one's going to brag about that. Jesus, in his ministry, raised Lazarus from the dead. You think people are going to be talking about it if he says, Lazarus, come forth, and nothing happens? Jesus himself was raised from the dead. And Paul says, if he's not raised from the dead, we have nothing. We have nothing that's worth anything. What about the New Testament church? Was there miracles? Well, I read of the miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Tell me there wasn't miracles in the New Testament church. Who are we to tell God that the miracles have passed away? And yet church after church will tell you the Holy Spirit's on vacation or he's no longer for today and miracles are no longer for today. The only Bible I have, the only example I have of a New Testament church is one that prayed and received answers and received miracles. When Peter was in prison, what did the church do? They got together and prayed, and then the angel came and kicked Peter and said, wake up. Church is praying. Wake up. Had to wake them up. Okay. So, let me see where I'm at here. He backs up his word. I remember someone in a prayer line once. This was with Brother Hagin. And they were saying, pray for me that God will give me more power. And Brother Hagin said, there is no more power. He says, I can't pray that. God has given you all power and authority, and for us to pray, God, give us more power. When Andrew Womack was at this church several years ago, he said this from this pulpit, which shocked me at the time, but he explained it. He had a church full of people, and he said, God is not going to heal anybody in this church tonight. Now, it's not what you want to hear in a healing church. Right, you go to a healing service. Welcome to the healing service. Before we begin, we just want everyone to know God will not be healing anyone today. So that was an attention getter. What he was saying is people are praying, asking God to do something that he's already done. They don't have the faith to say he's already done that. Just you have to believe that when you pray for forgiveness, he is faithful and just. When you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful to forgive you of sins. Last thing before I turn this back to Pam. There's a legal term that's called a power of attorney. You know, the power of attorney is for everything, healthcare, finances. So in my job, I take powers of attorney so I can represent people. And I can do almost anything they can do with a power of attorney, just like you were talking about with Sandra. But here's the rule of the power of attorney. This is for most things. The power of attorney is only effective until you replace it with someone else. So in other words, I have a client that I've been working with for years, and I needed to call the VA on his behalf to get some help. So I called the VA because I have a power of attorney. And I said, I want to discuss this claim. And they said, you do not have power of attorney over this guy. I said, yes, I do. I've been working with him for years. I called him up, and he said, hey, I was at a picnic, and someone was talking about benefits, and I signed a piece of paper. And I said, you just signed away my power of attorney. I said, I can no longer help you. Whoever you got at that picnic, they got to help you now. He goes, I don't know who it was. I said, but I am not your power of attorney. We yield to the Holy Spirit. God chooses us. We choose God. But you can change that. You can give away your power of attorney, which we don't want to do because God gave it to us.
You know, I think that's such a cool thing, the power of attorney example. I was going back and thinking about the situation that I have with Sandra. How there's times she'll come to me and say, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that, and could you help this person? Could you do this? And isn't that what we do with God? that we can access him on someone else's behalf, that I can go as an intercessor and I can say, you know, this family needs groceries, God. This family needs healing, God. This family needs this prayer answered, and he will do it. Because, again, we have that same authority. God will say, yes, I've already made that available to you, so you just go ahead and do that right now. You just go ahead and take care of that. And I see this just so wonderfully, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to present to you that why it's important for you to access the authority and power of the Holy Spirit that God has given you, because it's a benefit to other people. When Paul and Silas were in prison and they had been beaten, and they, you know the story, you've heard the story before, where they were praying and singing at midnight. And by the way, they didn't know it was midnight because it was totally dark in there. They were in solitary, but they were praising anyway with whips on their backs, and their backs were lacerated, history tells us, and they were praying and they were praising, and the chains fell off of them. But what we don't really zero in is that the chains fell off of all the other prisoners too. For you to praise God and for you to worship God and for you to access the power of the Holy Spirit is a blessing to other people that are still in bondage and still have chains in their life. But let's take it a step further. It's even a blessing to them, to people that were trying to harm you. There happened to be a jailer there that day. And as soon as that happened and all the prisoners were set free, now if you were set free, the first thing you think about do is running, right? Hey, I'm free. I got to get out of here. But that jailer was responsible for them, and he drew his sword, and he was about ready to kill himself when Paul said, stop. We are all here. And that jailer and his entire family came to Christ. Do you know how many people, you know, yes, we've been through some hard stuff, and yes, we've been abused, and yes, the devil has beaten us up, using that example, in a spiritual way. But for us to praise God and for us to access the power of the Holy Spirit and be bold in what we were doing, it changes the lives of other people too, our family and those. And I want to give you a verse about that in Acts 4 and 13. And first I want to tell you that the disciples were really not much use in the kingdom of God while they were following Jesus. I'm just going to say it like it is. They were followers. You know, you got somebody always hanging around. They're all hanging around. They're, yeah, I invited them. They're hanging around. They're following me. And he was teaching them by his example, per his example, like we're supposed to. But they were just followers of Christ and learners. Disciple, the word disciple means learner. It means actually learner. But one day, they went to an upper room, and they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And he came. Jesus said he was going to come. And if I tell Ken, you know, somebody's coming to your house, stay there, wait for him. It's really somebody special, Ken. Mm-hmm. He's going to stay. He's going to wait. I can't tell you, but boy, they're bringing, it's going to be amazing. He's going to stay and wait. And when the Holy Spirit came, and there was a mighty rushing wind, and tongues fell on their head, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That turned them upside down and changed their whole world. But it changed the world as they knew it then. So in Acts 4:13, we see Peter and John. Peter, who denied Christ, by the way. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, simple, ordinary, like you and I men, they were amazed and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you know that's my scripture that I tell the Lord? I want people to know, not, I don't care what you think of the sermons. I would like you to like them, but I don't care. What I care is that people will say, she knows Jesus. She has access to Jesus. She's been with Jesus. I can tell. Yeah, she's ordinary. She's just an ordinary person, nothing special at all. No real high education. I don't have a master's degree in anything. But guess what? If they can see that you've been with Jesus, and if you have the Holy Spirit, if you're bold enough to tell them the truth, you know, sometimes what people need is to hear the truth. But because of the Holy Spirit, they need to hear it with love and kindness. And when others see it, they're going to want to know not how you got, they're going to want to know him. They're going to want to know him. And you know, being saved is wonderful, and I would never diminish that in any way, because you have to be saved to enter heaven. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But heaven is for later. I am here now, and I'm not in heaven. You know, things, there are no pearly gates and fancy streets, and they're still fighting and arguing and killing and shooting in our street. I need help while I'm here on earth, navigating this earth. I won't need help up there, but I need help down here, so I need the Holy Spirit, and I need to be able to lay hands on the sick and see that they are healed. I need to be able to cast out demons, whether they're demons on you or me. I need to be able to cast them out in Jesus' name.
So here's a nugget of truth. The last word is the active word. The last word you speak is what's active. It's a light switch. It's on or off. You can go turn a light on and go, hallelujah, the light is on. You can then shut it off. The light is now off, right? That's the last thing you did was turn the light off. So even if you had the light on for a few seconds, even if you come to an altar for a few seconds and say, I am healed, I am blessed, I'm going to be holy, you've just turned the light on. Light is shining in your life. You've just said, I'm healed. You just said, I'm blessed. You're giving the Holy Spirit the power of attorney. You're giving him permission to move in your life. Holy Spirit, move in my life. Holy Spirit, cause people and things to come into my life. Use me. Provide opportunities for me to be used. You've just activated. You've activated the Holy Spirit. You've turned on the light. But before you can get out of this church parking lot, you can turn it off. I don't care how fervently you prayed. I don't care if you did backflips down the aisle. I believe. I see it. I'm not going to make it. You just turned it off. You're not going to make it. That's what do you believe, Pastor Ken? Are they going to make it or not? I believe they're not going to make it because they just said it. That's where authority is. It's what we say. And so it's the last word is the active word. The last word is the active word. Tony Smith here, he does something every day that you might find hard to believe. I find it hard to believe. He works on cars. He's a mechanic. When you go out to your car today after church, I want you to try to do what he does every day. Because when he works on cars, he needs them up in the air, right? So you get underneath them so he can work on it. My car weighs a lot. I want you to try to lift your car up into the air. Just hold it over your head as you go out to the parking lot and just hold it over your head. Say, that's impossible. You can't do that in your own power. Yet how does he do it every day? How does he manage when no one in this church can lift up a car? How does he manage to lift up cars every single day? He's got a hydraulic lift and he's not doing the work. He's just throwing the switch. When God gives us and tells us to pray for demons to be cast out, to pray for people to be healed, you go, I can't do that. Yes, you're right. You can't do that. It's not you doing it. If it doesn't work, it's not on Tony, right? If he flips the switch and he has the car all set up and he says lift and it doesn't lift, he's not embarrassed. If you follow the word of God, it's on God. Let God do his part. You do your part. You do your part. Okay, the next thing is a few years ago, well, several years ago, back when I was an attorney, I had a very large jury trial case. I was supposed to go meet with the judge. We were supposed to have a preliminary hearing, but even though it was a preliminary hearing, there was so much interest in this that there were several hundred people in the lobby waiting to get into the courtroom. There were more people than could ever get into the courtroom. And, there were guards and saying, nobody's coming in. No one's coming in. No one's coming in. So I have to get to talk to the judge, but they're saying no one's coming in. But I still was able to get in because I had permission to be there. I was the attorney. The judge was waiting to meet with me. The judge of the universe is waiting to meet with you. You have authority to go in. You have authority to go in there and talk to the judge. But you have to use that authority. You have to actually use that authority. We make a mistake when we judge one another according to the human flesh. If I need healing, if I had a terminal disease, which I don't, but if I did, and if I said I would like the prayer warriors of this church to come, and Freda, I would like you to come and lay hands on me, and Janice would like you to join in, and Sister Debbie and Sister Emmy and Brother Willie, and I want the church to pray for my healing. Seriously? You're going to have Freda is going to be the one that's going to do something about your cancer? We do not judge one another according to the flesh. If you look at Freda and you say, in her is authority of the Godhead. In her is the word of God. But if I don't recognize that in her or in you, not only won't I ask for prayer, but when I'm receiving the prayer, it's Freda. What can she do? But we do the same thing when we look in the mirror. What can I do? I'm nothing. You are not lifting the car. Your job is to just pray and to take that authority. Now, last thing before I turn this to Pam. Because she, and this is from Pam's notes. She says, the greatest thing the Holy Spirit does in our life, He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Have you ever seen a beautiful bowl of fruit that was, look at those apples over there. And you went and picked up that apple and it weighed about 1 ounce. And you go, what? Oh, yep. No wonder it looks so pretty. It's fake fruit. Fake fruit. Jesus doesn't want or need fake fruit. Real fruit is refreshing and it's sweet. Jesus found a bowl of fake fruit and he was not happy about it. He was hungry and he saw in a distance, oh, look at that. Look, okay, boy, there's a fig tree in the distance. Let's go get some figs. Come on, who's hungry? Who's hungry for figs? And what was on the tree? Nothing. It was fake fruit. I like the thought of the fruit of the Spirit, Pam, that we need to develop that. That if, you know, I've heard people say before, when we talk about improving ourselves and demonstrating the love of God, not just love, but supernatural love of God, they say, that's not who I am. Or they say, that's just the way I am. I'm just real short with people. Or I just tell people the way it is. You're ugly. I'm just honest with people. That's not the way anybody is. I'm going to close my part, and I won't say anything else. But when 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation altogether. That's what's inside of you. What's inside of you is all the goodness of God, all the fullness of the Godhead. What, and you say, I don't know, Pastor Ken, if the Holy Spirit is in me. I can help you with that. I can tell you whether the Holy Spirit is in you. Are you living holy? It's in the name. It's Holy Spirit. If you say, Pastor Ken, I'm honestly not living holy. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't in you. You're living with the old man. If anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation all together with supernatural love. And that's where the fruit can develop. Pam, we have to, it's not enough to hear a sermon on authority. You have to take authority. The last thing you say is, do you need healing in your body? What's the last thing you said about it? Do you need a miracle of some sort? What's the last thing you said about it? Use that authority and keep holding that word and don't change that word.
We have to know if Pastor Ken's going to play. We have to know, first of all, who we are in Christ, that we have been given that authority, and I am who I am in Christ. Many, many years ago, I'll tell you a real quick story. We'll just spend a little bit of time of worship. It's on Kathy Pageant, since she's in heaven. Hi, Kath. she was telling me, she had said something to someone, kind of let them know how it was. You know, Kathy. And she came to me and she told me, she said, you know, Pastor Pam, that's just who I am. She goes, I work for the police department and it just toughens you up and I'm just going to let them have it. And first of all, she worked in records. I don't know how tough that can make you, but I guess it's tough. You know, we know. And everybody knew Kathy, so, you know, she was trying to tell me that that's just my personality, and if I have to shake some people down, Pastor Pam, I'll shake them down. And I knew she would. And I said to her, that's not who you really are. I said, no, it's not. I said, you don't work for the police department. You serve the Most High God. And I said, I know who you are. You're the person that gave so-and-so $50. You're the person that gave groceries to this person. You're the person that bought a couch and furniture for this person. You're the person who cried when this person got a bad diagnosis like you got. That's who you are, Kathy. I said, you just don't know who you are. And when you know who you are and the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit's in you, I said, and I know something else. I said, you know, I know when we finish this conversation, you're going to call them up and you're going to tell them, you know what, that's not who I am. I'm kind of feel bad about what I just said. And she just started weeping and crying. And I said, that's who you are in Jesus' name. Let's stand and go before the Lord and let's pray that the Lord would fill us up and give us opportunity and help us. Father God, we know that we need your help, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And I believe that we haven't used the authority and we repent that we haven't used the authority and the power that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the many times you performed miracles on our behalf. You are a miracle worker. You are the way maker. You are light in the darkness, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, and I ask now that you would fill us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that yes, that we would speak in other tongues, that it would overflow in Jesus' name, that would be us, Lord, that you would fill us, and fill us some more till we want no more, till we almost can't stand it, Lord. Father God, your filling is better than any nitrous oxide or any high that the world has to offer, any drug. You are the one we need. We need our joy and our laughter to come from you, Lord. We need our power to flow through us, that flows in us, Lord. Fill us with oil, Father, that when the fire of God touches us, we will explode, Lord, that we will be able to walk up to people and we'll be bold like Peter was bold, because Peter denied you and Peter was almost a nobody. He was just a fisherman, an ordinary. John was just ordinary, but when they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they turned the world upside down. They were not afraid of the persecution. They were not afraid to walk up to people and command disease to leave and to command devils to go, to command ears to be opened and eyes to be opened. Lord, let us do it, but through you, Father God, because you paid a price, a high price, that we would have access to the things of the kingdom, Father God. We don't want to miss out, and we certainly don't want other captives to miss out. Like when they prayed, when they were in the inner prison, Lord. Father, it didn't just set them free. It set other people free. It set their captors free. Lord, let our captors go free in Jesus' name. That's a hard prayer to pray. But Lord, let our captors go free. Let them all be free in Jesus' name. And use us when we leave this place. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you will always be invited in our church. In this house, you will always be invited. You will always be welcomed here. You will never be rejected here. We will never be ashamed of you. We welcome you. We want you. We need you. We desire you in Jesus' name. Praise your name, Jesus. Let's worship as Pastor Ken prays. And just believe that all those needs you have are going to be met in Jesus' name.
for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.